Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's that time again for Successifies. We've got your recipe for success in business and living, and I'm your host, Lori Wilk. Our show today is live. It's great to have you with us. Our topic today is siblings, solos, and spouses, emotional issues, caring for aging parents. And as your host today, I'm happy to welcome our guest, Lila Goddess. She is a personal growth expert, the founder and the CEO of Aziza Healing Adventures, and the creator of Lila Goddess Feel Good Clothing. And we're just going to be talking today about the importance of emotional self-care and how to handle the overwhelming emotions of adults who are caring for aging parents. So welcome to the show today, Lila.
Thank you so much, Lori. I'm excited to be talking to you again. You're such a great interviewer, and these are wonderful new programs I want to talk about. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. You have such an important topic. So tell us, why is self-care so important?
Well, one of the self-care I really want to talk about pertains especially to women because they're the most negligent. And I want to just imagine a plant. Everybody knows that a plant needs great soil to grow the roots and nutrition in addition to water. It needs sun, so it needs to be placed in the right place and needs to be weeded and pruned and a whole lot of maintenance that you wouldn't even think twice about giving it. But when it comes to yourself, you're so focused on taking care of the kids or your partner or being at work or just taking care of the household stuff, you kind of forget that you are a living thing that also needs to be nurtured like a plant. And I'm just here to tell you that if you don't take care of yourself, your body will start asking for attention through aches or pains. You might start getting really low. It might turn into depression. So we need to actually take care of ourselves so that we can be there for other people in addition to being there for ourselves. That's my take on it.
So with that being said, could you explain a little bit of the reasoning? What would really stop women specifically from taking care of themselves? What's going on?
Well, our generation, that is those of us who are boomers and just a little younger than the boomers, we traditionally grew up with the model to be pleasers and to take care of others. And rarely, in my therapy practice, one of the biggest surprises I've had was that women, when I ask them, what do you really want, they tell me they've actually never asked themselves that question, which was stunning to me. So, first of all, many women don't even know what they need or what they want because they're too busy caring for others and being in their roles in their lives to stop and think about that. And there are some people also who just want to keep giving because, in fact, it's a way to control situations by being the giver. And there's a lot of guilt around putting themselves first, and it's the guilt that comes up in my practice more than anything where, oh, well, I really shouldn't be putting myself first. There's a belief there that is detrimental to everybody because wouldn't it be great if you modeled for your kids what it is to be so important to yourself, to have enough esteem, to take care of your needs first, and then be there for others. It'd be such a balanced model, really.
Well, on the airlines, you know, they tell you to put your mask on first if there's an emergency before helping other people, you know, so don't die before you get to make sure that you can live to help others. So, you know, I think that there's something to be said for that. Can you go over with us and explain to us some of the different kinds of self-care that we should be considering and putting into practice?
Yes, absolutely. There's three kinds that I'm going to just review today. The first is physical self-care. And the great thing is, in this modern age, the media is figuring out that it's one great way to sell products. So, for example, you'll have commercials where there's a nice herbal tea and you'll see a woman just relaxing quietly. Everybody's gone to bed and she's having some me time. Or there's a snack that she could chew in a in a special room of her own. So there's a lot of support that's coming out now for going to yoga class, to have a massage, to get a pedicure, to eat organic, to just start treating yourself. That's actually how it used to be. Treating ourselves would be to eat chocolate, and now it's much more acceptable to include something like a massage. So that's the physical self-care example. The one that's less known about and that is really, really vital is emotional self-care. That is, how are you actually feeling right now? Are you feeling low? Are you feeling hurt? Are you feeling anxiety or stress? Are you overwhelmed? Are you sad? Are you grieving something? And this inner world needs as much attention as anything else in your life. And one way to take care of yourself in this way is to talk to a really good friend. And it's important to tell your friend that you just want to be listened to as you vent or share or just try and work something out in your head. The other thing you can do is go on a class or a program that might support whatever it is you want to explore, like a personal growth retreat. The other way you can get some emotional self-care is by getting professional help. So a lot of people come to me who are just feeling really stuck in their lives, or they need some clarity. Something has happened, either in a relationship or with work, or there's a death, and they just need some clarity and perspective. And they need to feel supported. And a lot of people don't really feel empowered these days. So we find tools to feel empowered so that they can face a challenge and to experience forward motion. And so you can figure out tools for that. So emotional self-care is vital to your thriving in your life. And again, to be there for other people. The third area is spiritual self-care. And this one isn't actually talked about much at all. And we're not talking about religion here. It's about your soul, about what your heart's desire is. And you want to check into your intuition and just access your inner compass and your inner wisdom and get some answers to the bigger questions, like what really makes me happy and what's my purpose here outside of perhaps career or being a mother or whatever else that is on your plate? What more might you need to investigate just to have a spiritual meaning in your life? And it's very important for a life well lived to have all of these different areas, the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional, working on your behalf. So some people might be groaning, oh my God, there's three more things I've got to add to my list. But really, what I'm suggesting is make these a priority, because if you're not first in your life, you can't really expect a whole lot. You're so worth being first in your life. And it doesn't mean you don't care about other people. It just means you also care about yourself. And that's what I'm promoting today.
That's huge. That's absolutely huge. And like you said, people are probably going, oh, you know, wow, I never thought about asking more about my purpose or what I'm supposed to do or how I'm supposed to feel and how do I feel empowered. This is great. So how do the adults that have aging parents, you know, what are the specific emotional challenges that these people face?
You know, I've been thinking about what the population needs right now. And what I'm noticing is, maybe because it's my age, I'm in my 50s, I know so many people, and they know so many people who now, in addition to everything else in their lives, need to care for aging parents. And it's bringing on a whole new set of very complex emotional challenges. So people who are caring for their parents are adding to their tasks the just the physical help that the parents might need, the medical appointments they have to go to, taking care of the family home in terms of possible relocation of the parents and emptying out all those memories, and all the emotions around feeling exhausted and overwhelmed with the extra duties. There's also a lot of stress when you're dealing with your siblings about all these issues and delegating. And because the stress is already so high, we all react very differently when our buttons are being pushed. And so sometimes there's a lot of baggage that comes up from childhood between the siblings and around the parents. Well, you were always a favorite one, or no, I don't want to do that, I'm doing too much already. And, you know, that kind of conversation that isn't necessarily productive. So in addition to all of that, then there's guilt. Am I doing enough? I really need some time off. How can I take care of me when they need me still? And, oh, my God, I'm neglecting my spouse. Or, oh, my kids, I'm just too tired to help them with homework after I've done all this. So there's an added guilt about who's being neglected here while you take care of it. And on the underbelly of that is resentment. So
it's a lot.
And if you don't take care of all these emotions that are coming up, at least to vent them and to feel supported, that it's okay and, in fact, normal to feel this all, then you're going to burn out really, really fast. And there can be some pretty serious outcomes. So on this interview, I just really want to encourage people who have this additional stress in their lives to get the support they need for these complex set of emotions. Yeah.
This is a great, and the word guilt keeps coming up again. And when you mention resentment, I would say that not only does that, if that resentment isn't taken care of, it probably shows up in legal battles and problems if they lose one of these parents and the resentments and the emotions don't get handled. They probably escalate into continued bad experiences, especially if, you know, parents become incapacitated or they lose parents, that things can actually get worse, not necessarily better in these relationships if they don't get help.
You're absolutely right. And the tragic thing that I'm hearing from people is that after the parents are gone, they feel so bitter that they don't expect to actually be in touch with their siblings again.
Wow.
So we're talking about a whole other death in addition to the parents transitioning. And
wow.
So if
Right, and it's not only it can also be other family members. It doesn't have to be limited to even the siblings, the solos, and the spouses. It could be other family members or people that were in the lives that touched both of you when these emotions got in the way and things got, you know, went in the wrong direction, a lot more than even just this circle of people get impacted. And so you're definitely on a very important and powerful path here to help people. Now, I know that in your journeys to Bali, while you were there, you actually created a new way for people to cope with life challenges, and that what you came up with bridges the practical, the emotional, and the spiritual. So please share with us what you are bringing to the market.
Thank you. When I'm in Bali, I actually go on my own spiritual journey there in addition to holding a retreat and working there. So on one of my meditations, the inspiration came, and I will confidently say it was a divine inspiration, came in the form of a mantra that I worked on over a while, and it solidified into seven words. And originally, this was going to be the border of fabric that I was working on for my new clothing company. And as I looked at each word, I understood that there was instruction on a whole new way of living. And so I realized I had to create programs to support this in addition to having the clothes. And I call it the Feel Good Mantra, and it's 7 words: open, empty, allow, embrace, joy, freedom, love. And I'm just going to tell you briefly about each word. So open is how we begin. It's about what's possible. Can you get curious? Can you consider options? Can you relax about something? When you relax, you open up. And opening is not only opening your heart, but it's opening your mind as well. So you're just kind of emptying. It's like opening your palm and just letting something land in it. Empty, which is the second step, is about letting go. It's about releasing. And what would you need to release? It could be an attitude or a belief, a fear, a hesitation, most likely an assumption. So the emptying part is actually where the biggest work is in the process, so that your palm actually is empty, so that something new can land. And that leads us into allow. So we've got open, empty, and then allow. So what do you allow? It's a positive expectation. It's a hope. It's optimism. You're, again, relaxing and being non-attached to whatever lands, but you're letting something new land. And it could be a perspective. It could be relief. And it could also be just that inner wisdom, the intuition, giving you an idea and a little encouragement in a certain direction, just like this mantra was for me. The fourth direction is embrace. So after you allow, will you embrace? Will you accept and receive? And this actually requires self-worth. All of this requires self-worth, but the self-worth requirement increases for you to really hold on and welcome, not hold on, but welcome this new thing, this solution, this insight, whatever it's going to be, so that you can nurture it and that it can gain momentum. And the open, empty, allow, embrace leads to joy, which is feeling good without the drama. And I want to emphasize that. You can look into the face of a baby or a child or a flower or your spouse and just feel joy. It's a very pure, it almost has a color. You know, some people see it as a very light golden color. And it's a knowing that all is well, and that sits physically as an energy in your body. Freedom is the gift of letting go of all the old stuff. It's the roles you're letting go of, and you have the room now to be who you really are, which, of course, inspires more joy. And then the last one is, of course, the first one is all of them, is love. So the love is woven all the way through, and it's about open-hearted, centered living, and it flows and nurtures both joy and freedom. And what I realized with these 7 words was the open, empty, allow, embrace is actually a way of life, and it's a way of approaching challenges. And I've been practicing this so that I know I can actually talk about it. And it works. It really, really works. So that's my feel-good mantra. And what I did was create the 4 Loving Shifts programs, which are open, empty, allow, and embrace. Those are the 4 Loving Shifts. And
I'm excited. This is so exciting. Yeah. And I want to hear more about these programs and when you're going to do. And how everything
Hello?
Is setting up here. I'm sorry, I lost your connection, but we're back together. We're good.
All right.
So with this healing way of life, how does your healing way of life, you know, relate to the story about your relationship with your mother? Because I know you have a story there.
You know, I was really glad to think about, you know, my mom and I had a very complex relationship, as is fairly normal with mothers and daughters. And when she was diagnosed with cancer when I was in my 40s, I made a decision not to be angry with her anymore. I just decided, okay, you know, I've done 20 years of personal therapy. Let's just put it into practice. So towards the end of her illness, when she was in a palliative state at home, what I noticed was that she would overwork herself. And she'd have the chemo drip on her hip while she's making dinner for my dad and really overworking herself. And then she'd be out for 2 days afterwards and have no energy to do anything and feel really lousy. And I noticed I used to get very angry with her and try and get her to just relax and be nice to herself and like order in or get them to cook or just something else besides, because what I noticed was if she was having a bad day, I was having a bad day. And it wasn't okay for me as her last months were approaching to be breaking my promise from a few years earlier to be angry with her. It just wasn't okay. So in the context of this mantra, what I opened to was having a better quality of life so I could stop being angry with my mother. I wanted to find an option to being angry with her. What I had to empty of was trying to control her activities so that she'd feel better, so that I could feel better. It was ultimately all about me wanting to feel okay, that I wanted her to take care of herself. Because the quality of my day was completely tied into her, how she felt. The allow step was allowing in a healthy boundary and to let her live the way she wants to, no matter what, and to allow myself to enjoy my day and to separate my life from hers, to separate the quality of my day from hers. And what I was able to embrace was that she was entitled to live and suffer and die the way she wanted to. And that I needed to feel everything. I had to embrace all the emotions I had around allowing myself to feel okay while she was not feeling okay. This is really advanced healthy boundary making. And I was able to achieve it. I'm pleased to say, but that was a real discipline. And the joy I had was that I could actually celebrate my life no matter what. I could enter what was working out in my life, and I could have joy around my relationship with her because I wasn't so pissed off all the time. I had the freedom for healthy boundaries and to do whatever makes me happy while supporting her. So I wasn't betraying. I was free from any sense of betrayal, because a lot of people feel guilty if they're okay when somebody else is not. And the love was that it was okay for us to be different and to live our lives differently and to have different priorities. And by accepting and loving the difference between us, we were able to be at peace, and she died with us at peace. And that's how the mantra could apply to something as specific as a dying parent and one of the journeys, the emotional journeys with that process.
Such important work. Oof. Mm-hmm. Got to take a deep breath on that one, right? So tell us about the programs that you're offering. But, you know, bring us into that part of what you're doing.
So what I've done is I've created the Four Loving Shifts programs, and I'm based in Toronto, Canada, so I offer them here, and I'm also offering them at a retreat center in Ontario to different retreat centers. I'm going to be offering this in California in the fall, and I'm using the Four Loving Shifts to create the Bali Ultimate Self-Care Retreat in February. So I offer an annual retreat in Bali, and this will be my 12th retreat there, which is just so exciting. And so you can explore everything you're feeling. It doesn't have to be about aging parents. Whatever you know, some people just want to get to know themselves better or to not feel alone in all their feelings and to think about what could be more or just to have a break in paradise and to feel the spiritual pulse on a retreat that's far away from irregular roles in life. So I also offer personal sessions. So for those who can't come to programs, we can actually work by phone, and or you can come and see me privately. If there's a group of people, I actually travel. I'm the traveling therapist, so I can come and do a private program for either your organization or a group of friends or staff who might be needing some stress relief and emotional self-care.
That's amazing. Now, you also, for the people who can't come into a program or have you come for whatever that reason may be, talk a little bit about your clothing line that you designed and what you created with beautiful fabrics and your mantra. Talk a little bit about your line.
Thank you for asking about that. The thing that I've been doing the last year is trying to help raise self-esteem and self-confidence through really, really comfortable clothing and beautiful clothing. So they're made out of silk, and I've created a new line now out of rayon lycra blend. And the thing I wasn't anticipating, but that has been wonderful, is to actually design the fabrics and have them hand-printed in Bali while I'm there. As I said at the beginning of this interview, the Feel Good Mantra started as a fabric design. So what I have now is Feel Good Yoga Wear, where the mantra, open, empty, allow, embrace, joy, freedom, love, is actually in the fabric. So if you can't come on a retreat, you can wear pants that have this. And it's actually running both ways. So as you bend over to do the downward dog, you can read the mantra and it will help you.
So if you can't remember it standing up, you can remember it when you're bent over and looking from the other direction. I love
exactly.
this.
Exactly, yes.
I
so
love it.
What I
you know,
to
for the people that are
like,
just tuned in to the show, you know, if they don't know, we so far, you know, I'm your host, Lori Wilk, and we have been spending this whole program going over the topic of siblings, solo spouses, and emotional issues of caring for aging parents, and understanding a little bit more about Lila's story and how she got to where she's created these amazing programs and now this clothing line and mantras and, you know, the programs that she offers not only in Canada, but if you have an opportunity to head over to Bali, you know, I guess coming really from Canada, this last 12 years, you must have just loved spending winters, you know, in Bali. So talk a little bit about how people reach you and the last messages that you want to share with our audience and about the last minute and a half of our show.
Okay, well, you can like my Facebook pages, Aziza Healing Adventures, and the other page is Lila Goddess, Feel Good Silks. And the website is aziza.ca for the personal growth company, and Laila, Goddess, GODDESS.com. That's for the clothing. And I would be happy to speak to anybody. Right now I'm offering a free consult for anyone who is wondering, is this a good fit for them? So you can email me at info@aziza.ca, and we can set up a time to call. I've got free long distance in North America.
Well, I will definitely add your that email contact to the show page for those people listening in. And if for any reason you're tuning in and we're at the end of the program and you missed the beginning part of the show, I love the fact that, you know, these shows will be available, you know, the programming on demand. People can, you know, listen to them again and again. And it's just so exciting that you took the time to share with us not only this big issue that is facing so many people and going to be growing over time as our population continues to age, but that you've really been inspired to create programs and create a mantra, to create a clothing line. I do hope that you'll come back on another show and talk to us a little bit more about what it was like to be that designer and create a fashion line. And the part of the show I hate the most is coming up. Folks, I'm your host, Lori Wilk. And until we get together again, be successful, be safe. Goodbye for now. And thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Lori.
All right,
thank
talk
you so
to you
much.
Soon.
Okay, bye.